I was joking earlier as Grammy-winning artist Chappell Roan has released a tease of a new song that includes a mention of Saskatchewan, and she even has spoken in the past about wanting to now reward Saskatchewan with a concert as well. I'll play it again for you a little later on, but I was thinking, okay, in the teaser, it shows her moving to Saskatchewan. What's a great Saskatchewan housewarming gift? Text me 1-877-300-7275. Sean in Weyburn sent me a good one. He said, great housewarming gift for Saskatchewan, a fly swatter and a jar of homemade choke cherry jam. That's a good one. I appreciate it. Keep them coming. 1-877-300-7275. My next guest would probably say anything from Dutch growers, but it's Rick Van Dyvendyke, our Garden Talk host. How are you, buddy?
Very good. How are you, Greg?
I'm well. Thank you so much for joining me. I know earlier in the week we were being asked a lot about how the smoke affects our plants and gardens, and we were sharing some of what you said, but maybe just address that here one last time. Does this do anything to the plant world?
Well, yeah, it has to, because, I mean, you look in the Regina area, up to equivalent about a week, right? They're saying that we had smoke in the air, so...
Yep.
I mean, that amount of time, just is less heat, less sunlight, less everything. It just creates the plants to be a little bit behind. We're having lots of calls about, you know, tomatoes and cucumbers not flowering and not producing like they were last year. So, but you know what? We got some heat coming up, and things will catch up as long as, you know, you water consistently. That's the big thing. And that's the hard part about when it's so smoky and less sunlight. Is that, you know, you set your automatic sprinklers or you got a schedule, and then you water so that the plants aren't being watered properly. So I always say stick your finger into the soil every once in a while and just check the moisture, because obviously with less sunlight, there's going to be, you won't need as much water. And, but now we're going to start catching up, hopefully. And, so making sure that you got some of that, you know, organic fertilizer with some calcium in it. And be consistent watering. Try to water in the morning if you can. Don't water in late at night, so that you keep, and don't water over top of the plants. Water at the roots, and then we'll get a lot of caught up. You'll be able to get those tomatoes and cucumbers.
Garden Talk host Rick Van Dyvendyke with us here. Some questions from some listeners. What's happening to the tops of Swedish aspen trees around town? They're starting to look a little dead. How concerning is this, or what's happening?
Yeah, it's, you know, just like the Dutch elm disease, the borer moves in as well. And the borer is an insect that basically, it's a little beetle that lays an egg, at the especially the aspens and some of the poplars in the top portion of the tree. And then they bore into the trunk, that's the larva stage of it, and they mine underneath, and they cut off the sap going to the top of the tree. And so when that happens, you'll see the top of the tree dying. And if you catch them early, sometimes what you can do, if you see a little bit of sawdust around the base, you can take some, it was called Dr. Doom, and it comes in an aerosol can. It has a little red straw in it, just like a WD-40 can. And you spray it into the holes, and then you can catch the insect as it leaves in the fall and goes down into the ground, and then starts the cycle all over again. And either that, or you just got to, if the top is dead already, you just got to remove that top, because that's just a nesting area. And then one plant that's an option for, instead of the borer, instead of the poplar, is trying something like a parkland pillar birch, which is more resistant to the borer.
So once it's dead, it's dead. Doesn't grow back.
Okay. No, it doesn't, unless it comes from the base.
From one,
but that top is dead.
From one beetle to another, controlling potato beetles. What do you say there?
Potato beetles. That's a question that keeps coming back over and over again. And number one reason is, the thing you can do is go out there and just start picking. That's the big one. Another thing you can do is that you just put a little coating of a mist of water on it, and then you sprinkle diatomaceous earth over top of the ground and over top of the plants. And it's an organic, almost like crushed up seashells, and it basically gets into the joints of the beetle and then takes care of them that way. Next year, what you want to do is you want to plant things like marigolds, or you can plant basil in between, or even put slices of onion in with the potatoes when you plant them. Those are all kind of things that you help deter the potato beetle from coming next year.
Don't let this go to your head, Rick, but every time you come on, I learn something. That is why you are the host of Garden Talk, and it's so popular. 2 full hours Sunday morning starting at 9 here on 980 CJME. Thank you, my friend. Have a good weekend.
Oh, you too. Bye-bye.
Jumping out of bed this morning, you look out, a little sunshine showing through the cloud, a little less haze, we're getting better. More on that here in just a moment as Kevin Martell joins me now from the 980 CJME newsroom, and a bit of breaking news that actually some of you may have been alerted to on your phone. My phone, no alert. Frank, my producer, said he didn't get an alert, but Kevin, on your phone, you got an alert.
What's
the breaking news?
Yeah, so this is about an hour and a half northeast of Regina in an area around Miskawakwin First Nation. And police are looking for a person, a dangerous person, they believe, is how they describe this, 28-year-old Elijah Albert. And we don't really know a whole lot in terms of details, but police do say that he is armed with a rifle, last seen heading into the bush in that area. He may be on foot, he could be on a quad, they're saying. If you live in that area this morning, again, on the Miskawakwin First Nation, about an hour and a half northeast of Regina, you're told to get inside, lock your doors and windows, and stay inside, and as well, don't pick up any hitchhikers. And again, about all the details we have from police this morning on this.
Okay, pretty urgent message there. Thank you, Kevin, on that. And you and I are both commenting on, hey, that's a little clearer. The sunshine is starting to show a little more as the air quality is not quite so bad, and it looks promising here now.
Yeah, it does. So we woke up earlier this morning, and we had a special air quality statement up. This was after we had a warning yesterday. I mean, it was smokier yesterday. Things have continued to improve. Now we have nothing up, but we have no alert or warning of any kind of Regina. Further proof that things are continuing to get better. They're not perfect yet. As you look outside this morning, yeah, you can still see a little bit of haze, but it sounds like the air quality is going to continue to improve through the next couple of days here.
Okay. Well, yesterday there was a city administrative meeting, right? Executive Committee. And this is where they talk about issues that they want to hand over next to the next city council. Just to give you an idea what's going on, and the debate, and the big debate yesterday was the new aquatic center.
Yeah, so this is council and the mayor in what they call, yes, their executive committee, their committee form. So whatever decision
I will add,
they
the mayor is on vacation this week. He was absent yesterday, and he will not be joining me today. I've had a few texts wondering.
Oh, we didn't have him last week either when I was filling in for you.
Well, so maybe it was you. Now. I don't know. Just week vacation.
So, yeah, so they're talking about the cost of the indoor pool, which we've been telling you is now $285 million, $40 million more than the last time this was in front of city council. They got the go-ahead. They gave it the go-ahead yesterday. They voted on this and are moving it forward. Now, it doesn't mean it's finalized yet, but it does mean council, when it meets next week, and we'll see if the mayor is back
maybe
from
he'll
the vacation.
Show up.
important issue, $285 million pool. But for now, they're saying yes. You heard from a lot of service clubs, water polo, various swim clubs that say right now they can't meet their capacity. They don't have the capacity at the current pool, at the current pools around the city as a whole. So they want this new pool and the price tag that it's now expected to cost.
Well, I think I'm in the camp. Just build it already. I don't want this to balloon any further. And I'm sure it'll move forward like that. But I'm in the camp of, hey, it's tough with the lack of swimming lessons. And I think all the competitions, there's economic spinoff to be had, too. So I think it's worthy enough to return to our breaking news this morning one last time.
Yeah, so this is a dangerous person alert right now this morning. This is about an hour and a half northeast of Regina on Miskawakwin First Nation. Police are looking for 28-year-old Elijah Albert. We don't know exactly why, but they do say he is armed with a rifle and he was headed for the bush, police say, in the Miskawakwin First Nation area, either on foot or possibly on a quad.
Yeah, we'll continue to update this story throughout the morning, obviously. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom at 6:58. Hey, happy Thursday. Weekend's almost here. Tomorrow is July 25th, and I hate to tell you, but it's 5 months till Christmas. But I am telling you that because it's a fun fact the Riders are going to be using to spice up their game tomorrow at Mosaic. Word is that even the jolly old man himself is leaving his beach holiday, slipping on some sandals, and maybe we'll be alongside a gainer on the sideline tomorrow to drum up fan support. It's Christmas in July as the Elks come to town. Too bad they weren't named the reindeer, right? Hey, kickoff at 7 o'clock. If you are going, there's also a chance to give the gift of food. The Purolator Tackle Hunger Game Day Food Drive is back tomorrow night, too. This is a biggie where if you take a donation, you might even get an opportunity. Well, you would if you want to step in line and get a photo with a great cup, too. John Bailey, CEO of the Regina Food Bank, knows all about this. His food bank is a big benefactor to this. John, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on this morning. We're really excited about it.
My pleasure. This program isn't really new, but it sure is successful, isn't it?
It's incredibly successful. It's raised hundreds of thousands of meals over its history, and we're hoping this year we're gonna turn it up a notch. Because as successful it is for our food bank, I hate to say this, and it kind of pains me as a Rider fan to say this, but it actually Edmonton tends to raise the most food in Canada. So I'm hoping that we can beat back the Elks on that one and raise more food this year.
You just added to the drama. We might even see Cody Fajardo for the first time play against us. And now this, exactly. but seriously, what kind of donations do you hope fans will bring?
Well, I think fans can bring food or cash. Well, we'll be able to take both on site or online, and obviously food's great, and we'll put that right to use. But as we often talk about on your show, cash is king, so we can actually turn that into the most impact. So whatever folks can see their way through to donate is fantastic.
Does this come along, John, at a good time? Because there's a lot of thought to summer vacation season. Kids are out of school. It's a busy time for families. Has the food bank been kind of slow as of late?
Well, unfortunately, no. Like, hunger doesn't actually take a vacation. So our numbers continue to be really steady throughout the summer months. But yeah, in terms of donations, we do see a little bit of a lull over the summer for exactly the reasons you're talking about. Folks are enjoying the summer. Kids are out of school. Things get busy. And sometimes that support doesn't come front of mind for folks. But the need is always there.
Okay. And I don't want to put you on the spot if you don't know, but I am curious. Is there a particular gate tomorrow where the Grey Cup is going to be set up as you drop donations off?
My understanding is the Grey Cup will be set up at the party in the park, so people can go visit it there. And also, if folks can't make it to the game or they want to skip the line, there's also an opportunity tomorrow morning from 11 to 1. We're partnering with the Good Morning Project, and Gaynor and the Grey Cup will be on Scar Street Mall, and folks can drop off food or make donations there and check out the Grey Cup in the morning as well. So there's a party in the park around game day or game time, and we can do the morning activation as well.
John Bailey from the Regina Food Bank. Good catch-up. I'm glad you and your team continue to do the work you do. Anyone, again, cash is king, and thanks for the tips, John. I really appreciate it. We'll see you there tomorrow.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
John Bailey, CEO for the Regina Food Bank. Moving now to the 980 CJME Newsroom. Breaking news this morning with Kevin Martell.
Yeah, and so this morning, Greg, we can tell you that Mounties have issued a dangerous person emergency alert. This is for an area about an hour and a half northeast of Regina, Musqueam First Nation. They say 28-year-old Elijah Albert, whose picture you can now see at CJME.com, is believed to have a gun. A rifle is what police tell us. In that area, he's believed to have gone into the bush in that area, possibly on foot or on quad. Now, people that live in the Musqueam First Nation area are being told to get inside if you aren't inside. Stay inside. Lock your windows and doors. And as well, don't pick up any hitchhikers. Now, we're still trying to find out this morning, Greg, what prompted this alert or if anybody is hurt. Our newsroom does have a call out with Mounties.
Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom. A little less smoky this morning as Evan Bray, star of the Evan Bray Show at 8:30, joins me now for his usual tee-up of what's to come. It's nice to step out this morning, and it's not quite as irritating,
not
is it?
Not quite as smoky. I mean, it was actually kind of foggy this morning, I think, more than smoky, but you can still catch a whiff of it in the air, for sure.
It will improve as the wind starts to shift and get a little more southwesterly flow. And
are you promising no smoke for the Rider game?
I don't see it as a problem.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a problem right now.
None of
the heat might be a problem for your forehead.
For mine.
Actually, you are off tomorrow. Tell everyone where you're going.
Yeah, it's a big day. Abernethy Fair tomorrow.
Can't wait.
It's an annual event. In fact, don't you have the organizer on?
Tomorrow morning, Megan will be here. And I have to admit, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm coming.
What?
Yeah.
To the fair.
Yeah.
What?
I am. I'm going to make my way out there. I'm going to enter a pie in the pie contest because
I've still got my fourth place ribbon from the year that I entered a pie.
I don't know if I'll get there in time to enter a pie, but there is a lot to look at here this morning. First, I haven't asked you this week as executive committee yesterday pretty much said, okay, we're moving this to council for approval on the aquatic center, even though it's costing another $40 million from where we last left off. I'm for the aquatic center. In fact, I think most citizens are.
Yeah.
It was one of the number one priorities.
Yeah.
Previous meetings and
I agree with you, Greg. I'm in favor of it as well. I do get frustrated though, because this is not the first time that the city of Regina said, oops, it's going to be millions more than we thought.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I completely buy this notion that, well, you know, inflation and we underestimated in a couple of spots. Like, we got to get these numbers right.
Yeah.
But it doesn't change the fact that I've been a supporter of this. I think we need to make these types of investments. Saskatoon's going through something similar with a downtown event center.
Well, it just takes forever. Like, I don't know how much red tape they got to through. Like, couldn't the shovels been in the ground by now?
That's right.
Or
I was actually chatting with Clark Bezo, who's one of the city councilors last night. Yeah. And I think I've got him convinced to come on my show next week. So they have the actual vote next week. They make the final decision. Hopefully Clark will come on the show. We'll talk a bit about
it. I like the name Clark Bezo. I've never met him, but there's got to be a good nickname there. Bezer? Clarky? Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Well, that'll be good to hear. Rhonda Blackmore, her fan club is growing in support from those who have been with the RCP in the past and present. So what's the latest here?
Well, I mean, it's still this whole obnoxious situation is up in the air. Of course, Federal Ottawa RCMP have made the decision. She's been pulled from her spot because of an anonymous complaint or a few anonymous complaints that have come in. It's been leaked what many of these complaints are. Once this becomes public, I'm telling you, I'll be shocked if the whole province isn't up in arms over the reasoning behind her suspension. So it's great to hear current and former and retired members of the RCMP supporting her.
Really quick, too, on some breaking news this morning. Right now, there's a search for this Elijah Albert. A picture now on CJMB.com is up, and he's 28 years old, believed to be armed with a rifle in the area of Muskoakwakan First Nation. That's about 2.5 hours southeast of Saskatoon. He's on foot. That's what the police are telling us, or maybe on a quad. In this circumstance, all you can do is, as the RCMP say, lock your doors.
100%. No hitchhikers. Don't pick up hitchhikers. All hands on deck. The RCMP are all over this. It sounds like their ERT team is out in the Lestock area, which is, of course, close to where Muskoakwakan is. Clearly, he's demonstrated violence or threatened violence, so it's a serious situation.
Your show today coming up?
Well, we're following two very important trials. The sexual assault the sexual assault trial involving those world junior gold medal winning hockey players, and the verdict should come down. Sentencing happens today for the Freedom Convoy organizers Tamara Leach and Chris Barber. So we've been following that very closely as well.
Evan Bray is back at 8:30. Enjoy the fair tomorrow.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.